Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. Buy one, get one free for 1 week only. Order today at EdenPureDeals.com with code GRACEBOGO.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
The Biden administration is hell-bent on trying to convince us that their commitment to Israel is ironclad. I believe that was the term that Biden used at the Holocaust Remembrance Ceremony, that our commitment, even when we disagree, even when we fight, at the end of the day, our commitment is ironclad. It doesn't feel ironclad. Feels a little wishy-washy, considering we're withholding weapons and bombs from Israel, according to the BBC of all places. I would say that the ironclad part of this, there has to be some sort of misunderstanding. And on top of that, if it was so ironclad, I don't think you need to be explaining it all the time. I think we would just know. And of course, the reason it's not ironclad, not that I have to tell any of you, is because Joe Biden is petrified of the insane little monsters running around these college campuses, setting things on fire, dancing with yarn, chanting, burn Tel Aviv to the ground, wanting to eliminate the Jewish people. That's the voter that he is currently trying to appease. And so he's capitulating to the far left of his party. And really, the Democrat Party, and there was an interesting take on this by Victor Davis Hanson in American Greatness about some of the myths of the left that are now being destroyed because of this anti-Semitism that's now on full display. And one of the myths was the Nancy Pelosi, that's like five people. There's been this recurring push by, and I'm using air quotes around moderate Dems because they're not moderate, but like old Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, that the Ilhan Omars and Rashida Tlaibs of their party, it's a very small contingency. They don't make up a great number on the as far as the party goes. They don't represent most of the voters. And if that's the case, then Biden shouldn't be so concerned about ticking them off. But he's walking on eggshells around these people, these protesters, these activists. And so, no, it's not ironclad. And the reason that they're withholding weapons from Israel is because Israel's going into Rafah and Hamas offered a ceasefire. And you know what I saw, Jared? I didn't even have you pull it because it made my brain want to explode. It made me feel like I had a worm inside my brain. There was a panel on CNN with Abby Phillips, and there was the pro-Israel side and the anti-Israel side, and Mehdi Hassan was the anti-Israel side. And the whole conversation, like Abby Phillips said something along the lines of, don't you think if Hamas is offering a ceasefire and offering to end the war, then Hamas should accept this and maybe give them a political state? I don't even know the exact quote, but it was basically like, should we reward Hamas for coming to a fake ceasefire that they have no plan on actually adhering to? My answer would be no, we shouldn't. And when you read about how this is just a ploy, like this is a trick by Hamas to suddenly, right before Israel is going to go into Rafah, to say, oh, actually, hold on. We're down for a ceasefire. All they're hoping for is that parrots in the media who are so stupid will go along with this farce that they were going to actually adhere to a ceasefire. Now, if we had an honest media, they would see right through this and go, yeah, they offered a ceasefire, obviously, based off what we've heard before, that they won on October 7th again and again and again. and they can't be trusted. They're a terrorist organization. We shouldn't really take them at their word for it. And it makes sense why Israel is going to go forward with their plan to go into Rafah and eliminate Hamas anyway. But no, that's not what the media does. The media is like hemming and hawing. Well, if Israel offered a ceasefire, then why isn't Israel listening to them? I'm sorry. If Hamas offered a ceasefire, why isn't Israel listening to them? Because they're liars and they're savages and they want to have this happen over and over again. And by the talking heads on MSNBC and CNN making it so easy for the propaganda to be spread all throughout the U.S., it kind of makes sense why these morons on college campuses feel so entitled and feel like they're fighting the good fight. Because the entire mainstream media is egging this on by not actually reporting the facts.
Yeah.
By making the entire U.S., or their viewers at least, only feel like there should be pressure put on Israel. John Hinderaker said it yesterday. He wrote in his column, he said, I can't explain why the only pressure in the situation is being put on Israel. The people who were slaughtered on October 7th, which, by the way, before that, there was a ceasefire.
And maybe I'm just being cynical here, which is easy to do in this situation. But, yeah, they put out this idea of a fake ceasefire as they're about to lose the final battle to the IDF, which is what's going on. And the media obviously has already been saying, and some politicians have already been saying, that Israel is committing war crimes. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Israel not accepting this fake ceasefire, that somehow they're going to try and push forward and try and say, well, you know, Israel ignored the ceasefire, and still further try to pin war crimes on Israel because they're that dishonest about what's going on here.
Yeah, I always think
that's a fear that I would have if I was, well, I mean, if the IDF doesn't have fear, but if that's something that I would have in the back of my head, if I was, you know, an Israeli politician or a leader or a fighter, that they're trying to bait this into some type of false war crime equivalency.
Yeah. And I mean, Israel knows exactly what they're dealing with. They know that they have to be right every single time. And of course, that's impossible, especially when you're dealing with war. There's always going to be casualties. There's always going to be things that go wrong. That's why war is so brutal and should be avoided at all cost. But I would love to ask, like, the Mehdi Hassans, what do you want Israel to do? Because it seems to me, if we take your strategy, you want Israel to sit around and wait for another slaughter. You want Israel to lay down her weapons and wait. To be a sitting duck. And there was a really good quote since, you know, and by the way, another part of the reason why I don't believe that Joe Biden's commitment to Israel's ironclad, besides the fact that we keep getting leaks that he's admonishing Bibi Netanyahu behind the scenes every single day, is because if his commitment to Israel was ironclad, then I feel as though he would be able to go to an event and condemn the anti-Semitism that's taken over these campuses without having to follow it up immediately with, but also Islamophobia. Like, I feel like if you really stood by Israel, you wouldn't have a problem getting out and just saying it without some sort of asterisk behind it. Do you get my point? It's like,
yeah.
If you really felt as though you were on the side of Israel, then why do I get the sense that every time you say something that could be even construed as support for Israel, you follow it up with a statement that you feel as though is a nice way to appease the radicals who are going to be mad at you for supporting Israel? Just say you support Israel. But he has to follow it up. Well, obviously, this anti-Semitism we're seeing on campuses is bad, but also Islamophobia. But also Islamophobia. You know, Tom Cotton said this. It was a great point. He's like, where's all these encampments of Islamophobia? Point us to those. Tom, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Tom?
Yeah, just two quick points. One, a very famous quote that Maya Angelou said years ago, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. All right? And I applied that Monday. I was campaigning for somebody in Foxborough, my hometown. And there was a progressive I spoke with that we got on the topic of Israel and Hamas. And then I threw that back in her face. She didn't want to hear it. And Hamas is, their charter is to end Israel. And the other point I wanted to make is that with regards to Biden, It's what he didn't say in his speech yesterday about, you know, remembering the Holocaust. And he did not say that within the Islamic world, this hatred towards Jews has to stop. Okay, he's always great about finger wagging at neo-Nazis and white supremacists. And are there neo-Nazis in this country? Yes. Are they near the numbers they were in the 1920s? Hell no.
Right.
Okay. There were the Ku Klux Klan. They're people that are in the closet that live in their mother's basement. That's what the Klan and the neo-Nazis have been reduced to in this country.
But hold on, Tom, because the reason that he feels comfortable doing that, and because he considers the neo-Nazis, the Ku Klux Klan, in his mind, in the mind of the left, that's the MAGA people. It's obviously, if you follow my show and if you're invested in politics, you know that that's one of the biggest lies pushed by the left. But that's something that Joe Biden abides by. And it kind of goes back to what Paul Krugman said, you know, famed economist Paul Krugman, who's wrong on absolutely everything every single time. He said, you know, there's a few years ago, he had a tweet about how he's concerned about certain brands of anti-Semitism, and it's not the one on the left. And so they see that brand, you might say, of anti-Semitism as one that they can talk about. They feel comfortable condemning that. This brand of anti-Semitism that's bubbling over at these universities, they don't feel comfortable talking about. They're not worried about, as Paul Krugman said, because that's their voters. It's the death to America voter. They can focus on the little Satan all they want right now, but they're really focused on the entire West and specifically on America. And, you know, you just mentioned a good quote. Another good quote that I think is a part of Holocaust remembrance, if you actually want to do that in good faith and talk about the Holocaust, which I don't think Joe Biden had any interest in doing, is the this is a Jacoby note. He said, Israel doesn't exist because there was a Holocaust. There was a Holocaust because Israel didn't exist. Like, people want to keep separating out. And this is what the protesters are doing, too. Keep in mind, this is what the protesters are doing. They love this idea of we're not anti-Semitic. We're anti-Zionist. We don't hate the Jews. We don't hate Jewish people. We just hate the Zionists. And Victor Davis Hanson destroyed that in his piece from a few days ago. He was like, you can't even hide this anymore. It's like, oh no, it's a nuanced thing. It's not that we hate Jews. There's students with Star of David trying to go to class who are getting bullied by these activists, by these anti-Israel activists. Don't try to tell me you're just critical of Bibi Netanyahu. We're a step beyond that at this point. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. I do want to talk about Karen Reed a little bit, and then we'll do the poll question. So don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to get to in this last hour of The Grace Curley Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Grace Curley Show. My dad just texted me and said, between Krugman and Biden in 40 years, they're 0 for 1,000 for the economy and for foreign affairs. Yeah, they probably had 1,000 predictions. And they've gotten 0 of them correct in their time. They're wrong on everything. Biden's been wrong on every single foreign affairs decision, foreign policy decision in the last 5 decades, according to Robert Gates, who is of the Obama administration, who likes Joe Biden, with friends like these, who needs enemies. And Paul Krugman's always telling us inflation's temporary. You know what I read today in the Boston Globe? It was an entire piece on how it's good that fast food is now like $19 for a Big Mac. Why that's a good thing. So in case you're out there complaining about the prices, shut up, you moron. Just know that it's good that the price of a Big Mac is $19. Say thank you, Joe Biden. Today's poll question is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. There's still time to reserve your table for their special Mother's Day brunch on Sunday. To find a location near you and to reserve your table, visit avivatrattoria.com. a lot of athletes lately are put in a situation where they have to decide, do I stay and watch and see my child be born, or do I go to a giant sporting event that could change my career, change my life, that might not come around again? And so that brings us to the PQ.
Yeah, today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is if you were a professional athlete, would you miss a major game for the birth of your child?
Some of the texts that I'm getting on here are insane. This one is actually pretty accurate. Because I said, you know, it depends on if your wife tells you you've got the go-ahead. Like, if she says, hey, don't worry about it, go ahead. But also, this is part of the thing, is some people are saying, oh, you know, as the wife, you just shouldn't say anything and let your husband play in the Masters or play in the Super Bowl and then tell him after. But that's not really your choice to make. Like, you can't tell someone, oh, I had the baby, so I just didn't tell you because I didn't want you to miss the Super Bowl. Your husband might turn around and say, that's not your call. That's my call. You don't get to take away a monumental event in my life because you think it's better for me to go play a game. 603 says, Grace, if your wife says don't worry, does she really mean it? Know thy wife. That's true as well. Every wife out there knows occasionally you give the, don't worry about it. No, I won't be mad. I won't be mad. And then in your head, the narrator says, but she will be mad. She'll be very mad. I'm going to say I wouldn't skip it. But it's hard because in this situation, I'm the woman. So unless I'm playing a sporting event 9 months pregnant, I don't really see how this applies to me. But I would say, if I were a man, I would skip the sporting event.
79% of the audience says yes. They agree with you.
Jared, it does, though, like we said.
Does depend.
It depends on a few factors. I think the biggest factor is it your first child? Is it your third child? By the way, another person said, which is a crazy thing to text, who wants to be in, this is 919, did you see this? Who wants to be in the delivery room listening to their wife screaming like death warmed over while giving birth? Take pictures and show me later. That's 919. Yikes. Would not want to be your wife.
Who says romance is dead?
Would not want to be your wife, 919. Joanne, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Joanne?
Oh, yeah, I'm just calling because I'm an older person and I'm a teacher. And I was wondering what I can do to help the Jewish cause. You know, we were raised to not really hate anybody. And so I just can't stand that there's so much anti-Semitism. It seems so bad to me. Like, what? How can we organize? I just don't know.
That's such a great question, Joanne. Well, first of all, I think just being a friend to your Jewish neighbors, Jewish people in your community, letting them know you stand by them, I think that's always a huge help. I'll ask Ari Hoffman about other specific ways people can help. But something that is a charitable organization, and I'll find a couple of ones that are specific, but donating to Holocaust education is a huge thing, and you'd be surprised how many school systems are not able to teach about the Holocaust because they either don't have the supplies, they don't have the literature, it's just not funded. So there's plenty of organizations that raise money for Holocaust education, and I do think that's so, so, so vital because people need to learn about this. If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it, and obviously, what we're seeing at all these schools is that people don't know their history and they don't know the history of the Jewish people, because if they did, they would not be behaving in the way that they are. But I think, Joanne, just not being afraid to let people know that you stand by them. That's one thing for me, is that I immediately reached out to Ari Hoffman, to all of the Jewish people who call into this show, and let them know, hey, I have your back. I'm a friend of the Jewish people, and you'd be surprised. That goes a long way. When we come back, I want to talk about these statues that are being defaced. Remember when Trump told us it's a slippery slope if you start defacing or removing statues, and he was mocked by John Oliver? Seems like another thing that Trump might have been on the money about. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
The makeup was minimal, the way she and the other moms in her neighborhood might look when shopping at the local grocery store. The long blonde hair held up with a clip at the back of her head. the way it might be in a utilitarian way while she was doing dishes or checking one of the horseshoes on her horse, she later spoke of so proudly.
Why does he sound like he's describing a woman from 1890? And you know what else it sounds a little bit like? When I was in the theater, Lawrence O'Donnell and I have that in common. We're both thespians at heart. Thespians just doing something else, trying something new. But when I was in the theater, Jared, and you'd sit down, and you know this because you were also in the theater. Jared was actually on the silver screen. He was a movie guy at one point. You remember how you'd sit down for a table read, and before you'd start, there would be one person whose job was to read kind of like the stage directions. And depending on what play you were reading, sometimes they give long descriptions of a character. Like, Joe Smith walks in. He's depressed. He puts down his briefcase. This is not the day he thought he was going to have. He looks at the living room. He walks towards the bed. That is the kind of thing that they put in these stage directions. It sounds like Lawrence O'Donnell is reading the directions in a play about Stormy Daniels.
Enter stage left. In a black flowing dress reminiscent of the nunly stature of the star of Where the Boys Won't Go To.
From her shoulders all the way down to her toes. That part of it really confused me because I'm like, what was she wearing? That went from her shoulders to her toes?
I guess the sketch artist, apparently, there is some fervor online because people don't think the sketch artist was too kind to Ms. Daniels.
I did see that
in the picture.
And here's what I would say. They're not very kind to anyone. Like, if you can do a bad sketch of Tom Brady, which we saw during Deflategate, I got news for people. There's no hope for any of us. Like, if they can sketch Tom Brady to look like a monster, we're all going to come out looking kind of rough in a sketch. Speaking of Tom Brady, this roast has gotten more play over the last couple days. And it's like now there's all these little side stories, backlash, backlash, this joke, so-and-so's mad about this joke. It was a roast. Isn't the point of a roast for people to be mean and roast you? Like, this is why we can't have nice things. It was a roast. It was funny. And I didn't even watch it, but the clips I did see I thought were kind of funny. Who cares? I did think it was strange. The one thing he got mad about was the Bob Kraft joke.
Well, I guess Jeff Ross was on with Dan Patrick and said he wasn't really too mad about it after that. But yeah, it is kind of weird.
Yeah. Because they joked about his wife and Bridget Moynihan and all these jokes that were very... And his wife with the jiu-jitsu guy. And then out of everything that got him out of his chair, it was Bob Kraft and a massage joke, which to me, I don't know if it's just because it's been so long, but it just kind of feels like that wasn't even that much of a dicey joke, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, as far as the digs went, that wasn't a massive one.
But I wasn't even going to talk about it because it's Wednesday, and the roast, it aired on Sunday, but every day when I go on the Daily Mail, the New York Post, there's a headline about the Tom Brady roast. He must have gotten paid. Do we know how much he got paid for that? It must have been so much money.
I'm sure it was a lot of money.
Because otherwise, why would you open yourself up to that? I wouldn't be strong enough. Do you think you would be?
I probably could handle it. Yeah, I enjoy roasts. But
I could not handle it for a minute. I would hate it. And Kim Kardashian got booed, and they edited it out of the Netflix special. So a lot of headlines from that. He must have got paid a lot. All right, now let's go back, Jared, here for a second to another big story that's taken everyone's attention, and that would be Karen Reed. I want to talk about Karen Reed here just for a minute, give you all an update. I was reading today in the Boston Herald. It was recapping yesterday. So today's trial, or today's day in court, I guess they focused a lot on the taillights. Now, the taillights and the pieces of the taillight are a huge part of this story. And also the fact that if you look at the dash cam footage, some people think when they see Karen Reed's car in the dash cam footage, at I believe it was 8:30 a.m., that it looks like the taillight on the right-hand side is totally intact. Other people saw the photo, and I was going through the comments, but I don't do that often. But I want to know what people are seeing. And some people were like, the taillight looks fine. And other people were saying, there's no taillight there. It's a hole. But it's hard with this dash cam footage. It's hard to really make heads or tails of it. Now, yesterday, they focused on the busted cocktail glass that was presented by an officer. So it was Lieutenant Michael Lank. He's been a big part of this trial so far. He put, and this is the part that made me laugh in the Boston Herald. It says Canton Police Lieutenant Michael Lank put on evidence gloves before he opened the brown cardboard box Prosecutor Adam Lally handed him. So now we're being very careful with the evidence. Now that we're in court in front of a bunch of people and reporters and a jury. None of these Canton police officers seem too keen on being careful with evidence, you know, after it happened. After they found John O'Keefe, they're putting things in Stop and Shop bags and red Solo cups and using leaf blowers to move the snow off his body. Now we're putting on the, and I know they have to put on the evidence gloves, whatever, but it's hard not to laugh at this and going, too bad you guys couldn't put on evidence gloves and been a little careful when the crime actually occurred, when you found the body. Inside was the base and jagged lower sides of a drinking glass, he said police discovered near where John O'Keefe's body was found, on the far left side of 34 Fairview Road. Now, prosecutors said earlier in the trial that it appeared to match the cocktail glass O'Keefe held in his hand when leaving the Waterfall Bar and Grill in Canton with Karen Reed as they departed for an after party at the address with others that the pair were drinking with. The defense questioned police earlier this week why they didn't search the home for matching glasses and just assumed it was from the bar. This kind of plays into the big question of the case, which is why didn't you guys search the home, period? Forget the cocktail glass. You find a dead body on a lawn, you'd think that that warrants at least a knock on the door of, hey, got a little bit of a situation out here. Do you mind stepping out and talking to us? Do you mind having a conversation? And by the way, considering we don't know what happened to the dog, and considering all the things that quickly occurred with this house, I would have to assume that if you didn't go, if hypothetically there were matching cocktail glasses inside the home, based off how everything changed very quickly in this house and how all the evidence seemed to change very quickly and there were pools filled in and there were things like that, I would assume that the cocktail glasses, if any did exist, were discarded rather quickly. Even faster, people keep saying, what's the dog's name? Chloe? Where's Chloe? So where are all the cocktail glasses? I think those were probably thrown out faster than the dog. 844-500-4242. One other point on a separate subject, and we'll try to have Turtle Boy on later. It doesn't seem like today was anything that crazy in the case. Seems like it was a rather boring day, but I could be wrong. I haven't been able to read everything. I wanted to do a little flashback here because we're talking about these statues. George Washington University had a statue of George Washington that has a keffiyeh on it, had a Palestinian flag draped over it, all these bumper stickers and things like that. All of these statues at these campuses have either been defaced. We saw that the World War I statue in New York City was defaced, graffiti written on them. And it reminded me of something, a flashback. Remember when Trump, when there was this big movement to take down statues of problematic people in American history, and Trump made a point. He said, you know, this is a slippery slope. You start taking down statues, people are going to find fault with George Washington or with other people. And soon we're going to be removing those figures in American history. And John Oliver, the British host of Late Night or whatever show he has, thought this was hysterical. Take a listen to this flashback.
The president's concern seems to be that tearing down statues leads to a slippery slope.
This week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
Okay, well, I'll tell you where it stops. Somewhere. Anytime someone asks, where does it stop? The answer is always, somewhere. You might let your kid have Twizzlers, but not inject black tar heroin. You don't just go, well, after the Twizzlers, where does it stop?
Well, now that George Washington has a keffiyeh over his head and graffiti at the base of the statue, is it fair to say Trump wasn't so far off on this? Is it fair to say that his concern aged kind of well? He was dead on, actually. I think so. When we come back, we're going to talk to Howie Carr about everything going on, including these college campus riots that continue at the Fashion Institute in Manhattan. And we have so many other things to talk with him about. We will be right back with Howie Carr, so don't go anywhere.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Well, the excitement and anticipation in the room hit a new high at 10:32 a.m. She entered wearing all black as if on her way to a funeral. The loose-fitting, plain black clothing draping from her shoulders to her toes suggested the modesty of a nun.
So I didn't realize this before, but Lawrence O'Donnell was at the courthouse. So that's why he probably feels like I have to give all of the descriptions to the audience because I was on the scene. Donald Trump put out on Truth Social last night, I spotted ratings challenge Lawrence O'Donnell of MSDNC in the courthouse today. I haven't seen him in years. He looks like bleep, a real loser.
The makeup was minimal.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Tux Trucks. No one knows Fisher Plows like Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. Your Fisher Plow distributor. Shop now for the upcoming season. Fisher Plows, spreaders, accessories, and parts. Shop online at TuxTrucksGMC.com or call 1-800-MY-TRUCK. You can also go to GraceCurlyShow.com and click on store to get an Aviva Trattoria gift card. $50 value. You're getting it for just $25. Joining me now is Howie Carr. Howie, we were talking about this Stormy Daniels testimony yesterday, and someone just floated something out I hadn't thought of, which is the judge said to the lawyers, you should have objected more if you thought this was so, you know, outlandish, the thing she was saying. And some people think the lawyers were hoping they would just let her run and go and then get that he would say they could have a mistrial because it was so outrageous. It seems like if that was what they were hoping for, it backfired.
Well, I mean, it's easy to second guess in that kind of situation. I mean, the whole trial's a joke. So, you know, I mean, how do you know what's going to finally drive the judge is totally corrupt, as Trump says. He's a Democrat hack. So, I mean, he wants to get it out there to dust him up. And it's not working. You know, the New York Post said today, it's the full Lewinsky they're trying to hit him with. And the more they hit him with, the more he goes up in the poll. He's like the old horror movie, The Blob.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what it is too, Howie, is that they've dug up so much salacious info on Trump over the years that people just don't care anymore. They're like, yeah, we know. It's kind of old news. We know that he wasn't, you know, maybe the best husband. We know he's not as pure as driven snow. That's not why people like him. That's not really his selling point.
Right. Why do we need to hear Stormy Daniels again? Why not the prequel? Why don't we have Trump at Studio 54 days? You know, so maybe we'd have something new here, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let's move on to a different Trump case. So as you reported yesterday on your show, the federal judge in the documents
Florida case.
Yeah, has indefinitely postponed that case. They originally had it for May 20th. That's not even...
Yeah, no one thought that was going to happen. But they thought they'd just kick it down the road till the late summer, early fall.
Now it's looking like it won't even happen in 2024. But there's something else here. It says House Judiciary Committee to investigate FBI's manipulated evidence in Trump classified docs case. This is from the Post-Millennial. Special Counsel Jack Smith's prosecution team recently admitted that the government mishandled the classified documents discovered in Trump's home. There are a lot of issues with this case that Jack Smith is hoping the judge will just kind of look on past.
Right. Well, apparently the judge unsealed documents last week saying that the General Services Administration had asked Trump to pick up the documents. I mean, I don't understand why that hasn't gotten more publicity. I mean, so he's accused of stealing these documents, but they asked him to pick them up. And apparently they were in the custody of the Brandon administration for months after Biden was installed as president.
So if that's the case, then why did they have a raid of Mar-a-Lago?
It was almost like it was a photo op.
Yeah.
You know, a South Florida photo op. You know, it was bigger. It was even bigger than the Roger Stone South Florida photo op.
Well,
there's not a canal behind Mar-a-Lago. Although they could have had an amphibious invasion from the sea, or from the intercoastal waterway.
And I don't think we ever got a photo op when they We got a couple pictures from Biden's garage, but they weren't nearly as sensational as the ones from Trump's estate.
No, there was nobody wearing those stitched FBI jackets or anything. There were no dogs.
The quality was subpar.
There were no alleged cops with long rifles. None of that.
Howie, another case obviously involves Fannie Willis. Today, news broke that a Georgia appeals court has agreed to hear Trump's bid to disqualify DA Fannie Willis. I mean, it would be about time. I can't imagine. It's insane that she hasn't been disqualified.
And she's stonewalling releasing documents. Judicial Watch has gotten an order to turn over documents about her collaboration with Jack Smith and the White House on persecuting Trump and these others, and she stonewalled that. The Georgia Senate is going after her. I think there were complaints into the Bar Association in Fulton County about her despicable conduct with her boyfriend, and She's got all kinds of problems too. I mean, and she won't show up at any debates. They got a primary coming up for her reelection campaign, and she refuses to even go to the debates.
She doesn't want to legitimize her opponent, I'm sure.
She doesn't want to legitimize democracy.
Yeah.
She's trying to overturn democracy.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that about Fannie Willis because, you know, Trump always gets accused of thinking he's above the law, but she's an actual example of someone who definitely thinks she's above the law. And everyone else is going along with it. Even that decision by Judge Scott McAfee to say you can stay on the case as long as your boyfriend doesn't stay on or your ex-boyfriend, that right there was insanity.
Right. So, yeah, both of you lied under oath. So one of you's got to go.
Yeah.
That's what it boiled down to, the decision.
Howie, let people know what you have planned for the show today.
Well, we're just going to be doing all kinds of stuff. I think we'll be talking about the electeds of color party in the city of Boston. Turns out Michelle Wu and the Wu Klux Klan spent taxpayer money, but campaign funds to pay for the racist Christmas party that they had. Excuse me, Kwanzaa party.
The anti-white party.
The no whites need apply Kwanzaa party.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be talking about that. And we'll be talking about a lot of, and I think I'm going to ask people what they want to call these college riots. I called it the hippie hootenanny in my column today.
I saw that.
But there are other names you can call it, too. I'll give you another one. It's going to be on the list. Jihad Jamboree.
Well, now they're playing Jenga, too. They're playing Jenga and Connect Four, and they're using chalk, and they're eating cookies, and they're throwing candy at one another. Seems like some sort of deranged parade.
The attention spans are shorter now, and they're especially shorter when you're not in danger of being drafted, like people were in the Vietnam days.
Yes, indeed. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. You do not want to miss it. I will see you all tomorrow for the Thursday show.
Checking one of the horseshoes on her horse.